And now, your Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast. With your league commissioners, David, Jonathan, and Stuart.
Welcome to the show. My son just threw up on me. That's perfect.
Off to a great start.
Off to a great start, and he's grabbing the microphone. This is what happens when you guys force me to broadcast.
We're bringing in the B League here, the bench. Hold on.
We don't have our normal setup tonight. So instead of all of our commissioners, we have Mr. Silicon Valley himself.
I don't even think ChatGPT can save this pod tonight.
No. This one's going to be a rough one. This one's going to be, we're going to do what we need to do. We're going to cover some of the basics and get it out there so we can get you guys off my back. That's right, James.
I mean, James just kicked it off with a nice Stuart impression.
Our third host is an improvement.
Bring in the junk.
Stuart and David right here. You got something to say, you just say it, okay? Okay. Welcome to the show. This is the week 2 recap, week 3 preview. We're recording this Friday night at 10 o'clock at night for those of you who are keeping track. We're doing whatever it takes to get this out there to you. Couldn't even get 2 of the 3 hosts to join, which is fine. Last minute podcasting decision. We've got our special guest, Joey, the tech guru who's putting all this stuff down for us. And, actually, Joey, is this what we're looking at here? Is all this on the website, or is that not up there?
The big board is on there. So that we could go look at here in a second if we want and maybe talk through. But, no, I don't have this up yet. The picks of the week. Nor do I have the power rankings, at least the pod power rankings, and how these three co-hosts think, or co-commissioners, or whatever we call them.
Yeah, whatever we are. Who cares?
Apparently, there's only one now, because everybody else.
Yeah, well, there's definitely only one podcast.
Hey, James, how do you feel about picking something?
Oh. I don't know. He's looking pretty nauseous. That's what he's looking like. Well, let's get into it. We can talk about last week. I'm actually going to zoom in on my screen. We can look at whatever you want to look at from last week. We have, I think, only 2 teams that haven't won anything. And I believe both their names are David. Is that correct?
I believe so. Let me look, double check that.
Pretty sure there's 2-0-2 and 2-2-0.
Yep.
That'd be so. Yep. David's and then Jackson and Bryce, I think, are up top.
I posted that in the comments. Sleeper, hot take. I think Daniel might be the only Cupid making the playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know, so far you're looking like that's the case, but never underestimate Daniel to blow up his team. So. Be careful.
I'd hang in there, Daniel. I mean, you were what, 2/10 of a point from winning?
Yeah, no. Daniel should be undefeated, but
he should be. I think he should be 2-0, to be honest.
Instead, our father is no longer. He's in the middle of the pack with everybody else at 1-1. So,
what happened?
Good for him.
Unreal.
Well, really, Daniel was lucky that freaking Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in football right now. Because look at that. He had 41 points from Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, you like that?
There's a 22-point difference between their quarterbacks. And if you would have told Daniel, would you rather have Joe Burrow or Kirk Cousins? Even going into this matchup, I think he would have taken Joe Burrow. So, you know, a little bit of craziness, especially because the Cousins one was against the Eagles. The Eagles have a good defense, but Cousins is doing well.
Yep. And yeah, Burrow and the Bengals, man. I don't understand them right now.
It's all Burrow. If Burrow gets better, those receivers are ready to go, but
tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, you got Higgins and I have Jamar Chase in the only other league I'm in, and it's pretty rough. It's not the Chase I signed up for, but
no,
I didn't know this
up properly either. No.
Yeah. My son's about to throw up. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
You go ahead and riff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll riff a little bit. I'll give you some inside info. Played golf with my dad this last weekend. And kind of picked his brain on what he's thinking. And was like, hey, you still like that Bijan Robinson pick? And he still likes it. Still likes it. I mean, it's putting up some decent points there, I guess. And he just got to get the rest of the team, I guess, to produce like this last week. But we'll see how this pans out over the season, I think. Uh-oh. What just went? What was that?
Oh, can you hear me?
Was that like somebody? Is that David's team dying? What was that?
I'm having technical difficulties. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can totally hear you.
I stepped on my mic cord because I'm trying to hold James. The whole thing just disconnected. Can you still hear me? Oh, yeah, there's James.
Yeah, it sounded like an 0-2 team, you know, on the deathbed. Just like, call it, call it.
Yep. Yeah, that's basically what it was. Oh, there we go. Woo.
Anyway, man. Now that I'm standing, yeah. So we'll definitely cover some of the standings or where we think people are at with the power rankings a little bit later.
Yeah,
some interesting takes from none other than Stewart, which is not shocking.
Oh man,
but that's okay. Speaking
of, yeah. Hey, he almost lost to somebody who almost threw up a 200 burger this last weekend.
Yeah, if you're gonna have a bad week, that's the week to have a bad week when you're never gonna win. So, yeah.
I mean,
good for Mike.
Whew. I don't know if that was a swift kick or
swift kick to the deck. And that's the funny thing, you never know how trades end up, right?
Yep.
Not that I don't think anybody was saying that the Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift trade was unfair. But I think a lot of people would have said, well, going into this year, the way that things were looking for Swift, you wouldn't want to be on that side of the trade. I mean, even Mike was saying, I don't think I'm starting him. And then, you know, Jonathan Taylor's basically not on the team.
And yeah.
DeAndre Swift, meanwhile, is the number one running back last week. So pretty sure. If not, he's definitely top two. But.
All right, we should talk running backs for a little bit because I think this year feels very weird to me.
Okay,
I don't know how much of that stems from the whole contracts things as well, but like running backs, I think I'm the most confused with running backs and strategy and fantasy at the moment because nothing seems to be panning out.
In what way? Because McCaffrey
is doing nothing.
McCaffrey. Well, so yes, the contract thing affected Jacobs probably the most because he held out right up until the first week, essentially. Yeah. And I've said from the beginning, he's either going to take a month to get right, or he's just going to be really bad this year because, you know, he didn't take the offseason very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. McCaffrey didn't miss a step. I mean,
McCaffrey in that system is the most valuable player by far. So it's a good trade by Bryce like 2 years ago. And it's, you know, on the Panthers, he was a good running back, but on the 49ers, he's ridiculous. So,
yeah, I mean, doing that trade, I still can't believe that how much that's paid off, the picking up Barkley and, McCaffrey and
yeah,
low down. Barkley may be hurt for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, Barkley has the listening to another football podcast, fantasy podcast. They're frustrated because Barkley clearly injured himself pretty seriously. And then after the game, they said, oh, no, no, no. It's just a day-to-day thing. He might make the Thursday night game. And then he got ruled out on Wednesday, which he didn't even make it to the day of the game. And then comes out that it's actually a high ankle sprain, which is usually 3 to 4 weeks minimum. Yep.
James knows what we're talking about.
James is like, I had my foot fixed. I know exactly what that's talking about.
Don't talk about ankles, buddy.
Yeah. But, so Barkley and that offense is horrible without Barkley. It's not great with Barkley. And the Giants are a hard team to watch play football.
Oh, yeah. Well, except when they're playing the Cowboys and the Cowboys are just.
Yeah, the Cowboys defense. Even with Trayvon Diggs being out, that was bad news for the defense. But
yeah,
that defense is going to be really good. So, yeah, the Giants against any team is not going to look great. But against one of those top defenses, you might as well not start any of them. I mean, you have to start Barkley. But outside of that, it's horrible. From a running back perspective, though, I'd be interested to see the difference in – kind of the back end of a would be considered running back one. So like your top 12 running backs, what their score differential is between, I don't know, 12 to 5. I don't know if you can pull that up.
Yeah, I'm trying to see.
To your point, the problem is like guys are just injured. So Eckler was one. Eckler was a guy that was picking up where he left off, and then he got injured. Henry has not hit his stride. Jacobs has been bad. Saquon's been not great. So who are those guys? Like, why don't you read us the top 12 running backs going into week 3?
All right, top 12 running backs going into
just total points, right?
So yeah, total points. Hang on. I got to pull that up. Season. Of course, it's not so technical gripe. We have the sleeper app up on the browser, but it's like terrible, right? You can't get anything. I got to pull out the iPhone and
I've actually started to do that on the podcast. I just use my phone to reference sleeper. It's so annoying to use the desktop version.
Rough. Number one, or who do you think the top three are? Let's do that. Obviously,
yeah. McCaffrey. So I'm gonna go McCaffrey. Only because there's been 2 weeks, I'm going to say Swift, McCaffrey, Swift, and Eckler probably still.
Wow. So Eckler is not in top 10. Swift. Okay. Swift is number 10.
Really?
Yes.
He had
based on fantasy points.
I guess he didn't score anything in week one then.
So, number two is Williams from the Rams.
Three. Byron Williams. Yeah.
He went off, maybe foreshadowing to another part of what we might be talking about later.
Yep.
Might have a chocolate shake with that. The other one was Bijan Robinson. No.
So one is McCaffrey.
No. Number three was Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
There you go.
I had a good joke with Stuart. I don't know if I said it on the podcast or not, but oh well, if you hear it again. Turns out Brian Robinson's pretty good as long as he doesn't get shot in the leg in the offseason. So if you give him a season where he doesn't have to worry about recovering from a bullet wound, pretty good running back.
Yeah, so Bijan falls to 5, Mostert's 4.
Mostert is 4. Interesting. You know, David got him like there's double digit rounds in the draft. It's a pretty late pick.
Yep. Yeah, that's he came. Pick. Where did he come? Picked in the 9th round, 9-3.
Just short of double digits. Okay. And that's the starting running back essentially for the Dolphins, which is crazy. That's a really good offense. So.
Yeah, that had to have helped last week with New England and their strategy to shut down the passing game.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I was talking to a buddy at work who was asking about the Patriots. I don't know who they're playing, who the Patriots are playing this week. And he was hesitant because of the way that they are ranked against. Maybe it was the opposite. Maybe it was like, oh, the Patriots are horrible against the run. And I said that exact thing. I said, well, first off, it's only been 2 weeks, so it skews pretty heavily. But also, Belichick will change his entire scheme just to take away your best weapon.
Yeah.
So if Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are on the outside, the smartest thing to do is say, okay, we're going to shorten the game, make you run it a bunch, and not let you beat us over the top. And vice versa. If all you do is run the ball, well, then we're going to stop that and make you throw it. And that's just what he does. So I don't remember who they're playing this week, but I was advising against it just because don't target that, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, even Tua was shut down pretty much. Had a whopping 13 points with him last week. And
yeah,
the week prior was 36.
Yeah.
That's New England for you.
The absolute funniest one had to be, I think it was 2 years ago, when the Patriots threw the ball three times in the whole game against the Bills, because the Bills couldn't, it was the offensive version of that. The Bills could not stop the run, and the wind was horrible that game. The wind was like 50-mile-hour wind. Delta was like, well, why would I throw it? Just, I literally will run it every time. And it became such a thing. Even the announcers were like, well, maybe they'll throw it this time. That's like a game of like, nope. At some point,
the anticipation of it coming had to be so high at that point.
At some point, they have to throw it. Like, well, no, they don't. They keep running the ball 5 yards a run. Like, who cares? So that was, and then that single-handedly destroyed Jackson. That was so funny.
Wow.
I needed Daniel to beat Jackson. And I think that was Daniel's like horrible year. Can't remember. Anyway, he had many. He's a lot of those, so it's hard to keep track. You didn't round out the top 12. That was kind of my
question. I can go back. Yeah.
I wanted to hear past the top five. I wanted to hear kind of.
All right. So we ended on number five, Bijan Robinson, right? Number six. You want to guess the next five?
This is my point. I don't know if I could guess them.
Well, you guessed one of them. Swift is 10. Pollard is 6.
Okay, that makes sense. Pollard's been good.
Yeah, he's doing all right. I need a little more out of him.
They didn't need him for the Giants game.
No, that's why.
The defense kept scoring.
Barkley's right behind him. But he'll fall pretty quick, I think. Derrick Henry.
Really?
Yeah, Derrick Henry, then James Conner, then Swift.
I'm a little shocked at Henry and Conner, but also I guess there's just no one else.
Yeah, I mean, Henry put up 14 points, 14.4, and then 19.5, which, I mean, those are good numbers.
Those are good numbers. I thought Henry was doing worse than that.
So. He just doesn't have all the buzz, you know?
Well, he'll have his 30-point game. It's coming. But I heard he hurt his toe a little bit, so that's a little concerning because that's what derailed him one of these past years where he had a foot injury. So something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. So, I guess coming back to the original, where I'm confused about the running backs and maybe the long-term like impact of the whole contract stuff and how that may shift some of the strategies of teams in running, right? Like the whole running back argument, or from the point of the running backs, they were saying, hey, it's kind of a weird scenario where the harder I play and the better I perform in a season actually hurts me, you know, because that means I put in more mileage and therefore I'm more worn out. So
we talked about this on one of the podcasts briefly. It may have been in the draft, I don't know, but the only way to solve it is to allow for the running back contracts to be different from the rookie side.
Mm-hmm.
Every other position, almost, maybe not linebacker. Linebacker is probably the next closest thing. But every other position, if you're good, you will get a second contract and you'll get a fair contract, whatever your value is. Running back, because when you sign, especially the way they tier it, the more the earlier draft pick you are tends to be a better player who therefore gets an automatically longer contract for that team as a rookie deal. So you're using those prime years up on the rookie deal. Then it's time to re-up. And if you're still in your prime, then you're a perfect franchise tag because I can get one more year out of you and I don't have to pay you past whatever, age 26. And at that point, you're probably washed and it's not worth, maybe you might have another year or two, but you're wanting a 4, 5, 6 year, whatever, 5 year deal. And you're not, I mean, you're just not going to make it to the end of that deal. So receivers, quarterbacks, obviously, defensive players like corners and safeties. I mean, they all have way longer shelf lives in general than running backs. So the only way to do it is to shorten the front end because, I mean, you can't make them sign deals to older guys. So you need to be able to say, okay, rookie running backs, because of their unique challenge and the way they're used, need to have like a 2 year window of like a 2 or 3 year contract max out of the draft. And that's the way you potentially solve that. But that's very tough to do. Owners have to be on board. The union has to sign off on it. It's just, that's a strike kind of deal. Like it's not going to be something they just work out magically in the offseason. It'll be something that they strike over.
Yeah. I almost want to blame, you know, data and tech ruining this again, but I mean, it's the reality of it, right? Like I heard a phrase once, running backs are like avocados, you know, they're good for a little bit and then they get ripe real quick. And I think this is just the reality of that position. Oh my goodness.
What? He's still up, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, yo, yo.
Take it.
This genie's out of her bottle.
He's here.
Oh, brother.
He's here.
I've been listening for about the last 5 minutes, and man. Talk about Snoozeville. Let's liven this show up a little bit.
Well, yeah, let's test that theory. Is James asleep now?
Yeah, speaking of Snoozeville, James actually is asleep now. So I can't wait for you to hear the first part of this podcast where I'm catching vomit and he's crying. And, you know, Katie's off in London, so I'm over here holding my boy. But what on that note, why don't you guys, Joey, why don't you catch Stuart up a little bit while I put James down to bed?
I mean, if we really want to get him into a deep sleep, Stuart, you got the floor. let's see, where were we? We were talking running backs in the whole, like, hey, I'm confused with this season. It feels weird with the fantasy points and stuff. We just went over who the top 10 are. But we started getting into, I wonder what the long-term impact of the whole contract thing with running backs, right? Is that going to change how teams run, utilize their running backs and therefore translate to, I don't know, is a running back position going to become less important in fantasy? Are we going to find fewer good running backs?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering how quickly that kind of pivots. And then do we end up like, I don't know, changing the rosters to be an extra wide receiver or something like that.
Yeah. Or add another flex or something.
Maybe.
What are we talking about? Sorry. You're talking about changing the format already? I leave for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You guys want to change it?
We're going to get rid of a running back slot and make it a flex.
You guys just want to nuke the league. All
teams in their title can't win the title. We've just determined that.
All this Russian war stuff, I've never heard so much nuclear talk around our league than this offseason.
Oh my goodness.
So, let's just slow it down, you know.
I mean, we are just 2 weeks in. Are we just disappointed in the running backs' performances so far? Is that kind of the
I guess to Joey's point, I think more than anything, it's kind of injury related. I mean, Jacobs has been, you could have predicted it. Jacobs was not participating
in not at practice
and stuff.
Practice.
Yeah.
Eckler. Yeah. Eckler should have been top five, but his ankle fell off. So,
yeah. Right.
That sucks. I mean, Mostert is, where was Mostert? Number five?
Yeah. Were you here? Did you hear any of the top?
No, teams? No, I didn't.
Okay. I'll give you the same question. Who do you let's start with the top five. Who do you think the top five are?
McCaffrey.
Yes.
I would say is probably the number one. I know my running back is number three.
That is correct.
Brian Robinson. I don't have any clue. Bijan is up there, probably top five or six, I would think.
Number five.
I don't know. Derrick Henry?
He's in the top 10. He's in the bottom 10, though.
He's in the top 10, bottom 10?
He's in the bottom half.
The bottom half of the top 10. That would be...
After Swift's game last week, I would say Swift is in the top five.
I said the same thing.
Number 10.
He's number 10.
Number
10. I think he did.
He had a bad first game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
said one of their names earlier.
You did? Since John. I've been on?
Yes.
Mozart?
There you go. He's number four. Number four. Yeah.
Mozart is four. And you can think they got him in the ninth round.
Belichick made that happen.
I'm missing one.
You're missing the second, number two.
That's crazy that I'm missing that one.
He's on the West Coast.
He's on the West Coast. He's a Moo Moo Milk nominee.
We might be
this week. This week or last week?
From week two, yes. You'll get this. The guy in front of him just got traded in real life.
Yeah.
Cam Akers. Kyren Williams.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding.
You got it.
Yep. Number two. Wow.
And not to repeat and make this a real snooze fest for the pod. And number six was Pollard, Barkley seven, Henry eight, nine is Connor, and 10 is Swift. So okay. There's your top 10.
Gosh.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's
very peculiar.
I was more interested in their average points or whatever, their total points, but we don't need to go through that. We've talked about them long enough. So,
yeah. I'll give you this one fun stat. McCaffrey, 80.8 fantasy points. Number two with Williams, 46.3.
Yeah. That's
how dominant McCaffrey's doing.
Yeah. It's not even
close. Of
course,
is that including the Thursday
night? Oh, yeah. That includes Thursday's game. So he's got a third game under his belt. But still, so if you divide that by three, what is he averaging? He's almost averaging 30 points a game.
Yeah.
25 plus. So he's got Kyren outclassed by a touchdown a game, who's number two. So, yeah. We were talking about McCaffrey's. I don't know. So we were talking about contracts and blah blah blah. I'm sure you heard that in the waiting room, but McCaffrey is unique because he just does everything, and I think you need these workhorse like Derrick Henry backs are going to be more rare to find. I think the only way you're going to get a long-term deal done is if you have a skill set like McCaffrey or Bijan or someone like that that you can do kind of do it all out of the backfield. So that's part of it too. It's almost like the big guy in the NBA. You don't see any centers really anymore. And then when you do, you get a Jokic and then you get a Embiid and you get these guys that are dominant because they don't have anybody that can compete against them because the NBA's zigged and they've zagged. So, you know, you do get a Derrick Henry or whoever coming in and changing your entire strategy. McCaffrey obviously fits with the 49ers scheme. But I think the majority of the league is kind of a more of a committee type setup, right? Or in the NBA, you just go small ball, or you just, you play a guy that protects the rim, but you're not running offense through an off to through a center anymore. So yeah, I mean, that's why I've always favored the receivers, because I feel like they're more dependable long term in our keeper league. But if you can get, if you can get a Saquon, if you can get a McCaffrey, I mean, look at what Bryce did. He dominated with those guys. So it's really, the trick is getting running backs in their prime on good teams. What are we looking at here?
I've got a controversial take.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's not really controversial in my mind.
Who is your daddy?
It's just a question. Can you remember a white running back like Christian McCaffrey?
It's a trap.
I'm truly not meaning it in any sort of racial way. It's just, it's an interesting, like, he is, I feel like, in a very unique role and position.
I'd go a step further. I think you're singling in on running back. Why don't you just say skill position player? Like, you could say the same thing about receivers. Have you seen Cooper Kupp kind of fits that a little bit, but he's not as, like, physically dominant like McCaffrey is. And
right. Yeah.
But I think he's a physical freak because of genetics. His dad was obviously a world-class receiver, and then his mom was a world-class sprinter in, like, the Olympics or whatever. So genetically, he's set up for success, but he's just really good at football.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have I seen that before? No. I, especially at the running back position, to your point, no. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, the only other really white running back that I remember being even sort of good was that Mike Allstott that played for
Tampa. He was more of a fullback, though.
Yeah, he was huge. I mean, he really wasn't. There's not even really any fullbacks anymore, is there?
Right. Do you remember that one anomalous year that Peyton Hillis was good for the Browns? He, like, led the league in rushing or something. Yeah. Like, he literally did nothing else, but he was a white running back that was good.
Who did he play for? The Browns?
Yeah. I think it's funny because I'm pretty sure he was, like, on the Madden cover or something.
Yeah.
It's like, why is it, you see that guy and you're like, why are they putting a linebacker on the cover?
Yeah.
No,
Danny Woodhead's the other one I remember, but he wasn't very good.
Yeah, but
I mean, he was all right, but
he was more gadgety, like, he was just
yeah.
You know, he wasn't an elite athlete like McCaffrey is. I mean, you see McCaffrey get in the open field, he looks like he's just better than everybody.
Yeah. He's plowing over everyone.
He's just so shifty. He's strong. He's fast.
So speaking of shifty and, you know, being dominant, is the Mahomes-Kelsey thing over? Is that combo not a winning strategy anymore in fantasy?
Well, so I think those are two different questions. So I don't think it's over. I don't think Mahomes-Kelsey is over. I think they'll be fine. Why we talk about this? Why don't you go look up the tight end scoring?
Talk about jacked up scoring.
Yeah. Tell me which tight end, like, if Kelsey on one leg is better than almost all of those guys. So that's the problem, is it's a positional advantage. And then Mahomes has no one else to throw to besides Kelsey. So the funny thing is it over? I don't think so. But when Kelsey, I think we'll know pretty quickly, because I think that's the only weapon he really has, and the offense will go back to Kelsey again.
Yeah.
And right now he's not. So Mahomes will be fine, though. If they got him some weapons, Mahomes will be the dominant guy again.
Wasn't that the whole strategy? If you had Kelsey out there, it opens everything else up.
Yeah, but Kelce missed week one, and he's got a jacked up knee. He's not 100%.
He's not 100%.
Yeah.
No. So, is he even playing? Is he playing this week?
I thought he played last week.
He played last week.
I thought he did, but again, was he on a pitch count? I don't know how much he was actually playing.
There's no notes that say. Well, no notes. I'm on the website, not the app.
Click on him. Click on Kelce.
Yeah, he scored 10 points. He did play last week.
So he only played 44%. Or is that 64? 64% of snaps. I can't.
Targeted 9 times.
Yeah, he played 2/3 of the snaps, and he was targeted 9 times. So is he done? No. Obviously, Mahomes doesn't think he is, but he's not healthy yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he scored a touchdown when he's not even right. He'll be fine.
I think it's still a thing.
Too soon to sell on that.
Dude, do you remember did you ever have Antonio Gates when he was near the end of his career and he was still scoring all those touchdowns? He was like 38. I mean, Kelce's 33 and he's in probably better shape than Gates was because Gates got beat up a lot more, but you know, I think he's fine.
Wasn't it Gonzalez?
Yeah, they played to like 40.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was still good.
Yeah. I mean, they become touchdown only guys pretty much at that age, but they're Hall of Fame type guys. Those are trust me, you know, you've got we don't have to look at it, but again, if you look at the rest of the tight end landscape, it's Kelce. I would still trade for Kelce right now. He's that much of a difference maker.
I would too.
Hey, actually, since you made it here, Stuart, I was gonna bring this up when it was just Joey and I. Puka Nacua.
Speaking of James Puka Nacua in front of us.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he's totally on board with what I'm doing here.
Woo. Okay, in fairness, if you would have bet me last week, or if you would have said he won't get another 15 targets in a game, I would have said, yeah, you're probably right. And so, but you left the door open with, well, he won't get over the next two games. I was like, I'm pretty sure he'll get 8 targets a game the next two games. And he got, he got 5 more than the first week. He got 20 targets. That's outrageous.
I think he got 15 catches.
Yeah. He actually had the amount of catches targets that he needed in targets. I think he's a top 5 receiver. Is he not? He's got
to
be.
I bet he has to be.
Why don't you click on it? Yeah, click on his rank.
Number 3.
He's number 3. So here's the truth. He's just the Cooper Kupp replacement. They're using him just like Cooper Kupp. Yeah. I mean, this is what Kupp did when he was there. He just got hyper targeted, and I guess Stafford just doesn't care if Nacua lives. He's just gonna throw it to him till he's dead.
Yeah.
Hey.
Which is just wild. And
I mean, it is.
Meanwhile, Joey.
Yeah.
How was it when he was on your bench last week? How was that? Who's the joke on here?
25 points.
Let's go look at that. I need to maybe update my
movement. Yeah. We definitely have 2 to discuss.
I've got a couple players here who could have really made a big impact. But Joe Burrow, man, I don't know what's going on with him, so I can't. When you make a receiver,
Bengals
zero.
Bengals suck, man.
Bengals are weird.
They're
weird. They'll fix it. They just are weird right now.
I guess it's a good problem to have when you've got a lot of wide receivers who can score lots of points. So
yeah. You just don't want to play musical chairs with them.
Of course, what a wasted pick here in A.J. Brown.
I'll take him.
Maybe we could talk after. He might be on the block.
I'm happy to bring him back home if he wants to come back home. That's where he likes to perform. He's on my team. Okay, good. So we got that out of the way early. I was thinking.
Hey, I would have taken that bet last week, but yeah. I see. Speaking of water bets. Are we up to date on the water bets?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to make sure that one got in the book. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Joey's advocating for Google Docs instead of these spreadsheets so that we can all go in and edit it. So just FYI.
I think the people of the league wanted to see that water bet between you two was made official. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, it's official. Listen, if it's on the podcast, it's done. It's definitely done. I mean, we've got witnesses in Germany and Russia that are listening to this. There's no way to get out of it.
You know what's funny? Can I even share it here?
Do you have friends in Russia that you're sending this to, or what?
No, I put usage stats on the website to better understand if it's breaking and things like that. And with that comes general locations like state or city.
Right.
Of course, I'm getting China and Russia or something like that. So apparently, people heard about the website on the pod, and
we're big over there. We're big over there.
Apparently, yeah.
So 4% of our audience is in Germany. So if you were wondering, we do have some Irish and some Brazilian, but it's less than 1%.
I wonder if I have it easy to see here. There you go. Check it out. Yeah. China.
Who's hey, over in France, France listening to us?
France is all in.
Must be Wemby.
Some Canada stuff. Yeah, must be
Wimpy's a big fan.
I love it. Love it. Well, cool.
Yep. Anything
what else do we do on this podcast?
anything from week two before we move on to power rankings, picks of the week?
Yeah, just so we're clear, Jonathan did talk about wanting to do a water bet last week about Cooper Kupp, saying that he would injure his hamstring. I don't think we've ever had a water bet where they're betting on someone to get injured. But we didn't actually do that one. But we did have two from last week that are recorded. John bet Stewart that Puka Nacua will have at least 15 targets in week 2 and 3 combined. So that one.
Well, let's see. He might get negative 6 targets.
Yeah, that's true. There's a chance he could go down.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan bet Stewart that Jefferson will have more yards than Hill at the end of the season.
Okay, that was a season bet. Okay.
Yeah.
So other things that went on in the league. Any comments on the Chubb stuff?
Let's talk about Chubb. I also want to talk about, did anyone else notice till I said it that besides Daniel and my dad, how close their matchup was?
No.
Yes.
I had no idea it was that close till I checked the final standings. And I mean,
did any stat corrections come at all?
It doesn't look like it.
No. 0.2. Like what's really interesting, I was actually going to do that as a little trivia thing, but between Daniel's win last week and his, or 2 weeks ago, first week, and his loss last week, his point differential between his opponents is 3.02 between both of those. He won by 2.8 and he lost by 0.22.
Oh my word. He is he's living on the edge of his seat every week. That is wild.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Chubb. Yeah, that was gross. So funny story. My new mentor at my new job, she and her husband have season tickets to the Steelers games. So she goes to every home game with him. He goes to everyone. She goes to as much as she can make. So she was there, and they sit literally on the first row in the corner of the end zone. And so they had a direct line of sight to that Chubb injury, and they could see all of it. And they were like, yeah, they could tell instantly. And then the whole stadium, of course, freaked out once they showed the replay. But that was his same knee that he injured in college. I'm pretty sure he's done for his career. Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
I completely agree.
And that's horrible. I mean, kudos to him if he tries to come back, but no one would blame him if he just hung it up. I mean,
That's where, with Dobbins too, with Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I think some of these guys were seeing their careers ending like in after 2 weeks of the season. It's pretty sad.
Aaron Rodgers is convinced he's coming back. So it's not impossible. They have improved Achilles surgeries. I mean, it wasn't like it was a super violent injury like Chubb's or like Alex Smith, where his leg almost fell off. Like that, those are like you're lucky to walk again. But Rodgers has a shot.
I'm just thinking because of his age, but maybe you're right. But
it's just his. Like if he decided he was done, it would be a no brainer. He should be done. But he's the one that's like, oh, I'm coming back. So I'm like, if he really wants to come back, he can come back from. I mean, Kobe Bryant came back from Achilles at age like 38, 39, whatever that was.
Yeah.
And that he played a way more dynamic position than quarterback. So
basketball. True.
But I mean, to your point, I mean, you're seeing some pretty catastrophic injuries. I mean, you saw Trayvon Diggs. That sucked for the Cowboys.
Yep.
And he's out. I mean, that's a huge loss on that defense. I mean, the Cowboys have a Super Bowl defense. Let's just be honest about that. Whether they make it to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, that's a whole nother thing. But that defense is good enough to be in a Super Bowl.
Without him?
I do think without him, they're still that caliber defense because I think the pass rush is so good, and I do think they have enough pieces in the secondary, but Trayvon Diggs is a huge difference maker. Yeah. I think the Cowboys were no doubt the number one defense in the league with Diggs. Now I think they're like on par with the 49ers and whoever else without Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, just ask the Giants. They played both of them. They scored zero. In fact, the Cowboys defense scored more touchdowns than the Giants did. So,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, nothing else from week two? Anything before we move on to
maybe the final, like, We didn't talk about it in the podcast, fixing all the audio and kind of maybe this gets into week three, but the whole, I threw that in the chat as well. I don't know if you saw, but the guy's talking about how Amazon's Thursday night audio is so bad. And I was like, hey, that's just like the podcast. We must be running on it. No, I don't know, but we fixed it. And so all the drops seem to be dropping pretty well.
Yeah. I've noticed.
Yeah, this is high quality here, Stuart.
We fixed it. We got Joey on in 5 minutes.
Joey, to fix it. Of course. Yeah. With Joey on, it's
bringing you on here. We got to even it all back
out. You are one pathetic loser.
That is what Stuart's saying about me right now.
That is right.
It's fine. I deserve it. I knew I was missing something. Once he said what it was, I was like, oh, totally. I totally understood.
All that. But going back to the Amazon thing, I always hate watching on Thursday nights now because it does sound,
dude. I don't know what you hear because it doesn't bother me.
Really?
Yes. Are you talking about the crowd noise stuff?
Crowd noise and all that. Like watch what I posted in there. It's like, I don't know. They don't know how to make it feel like you're at the game like you do on Fox or CBS.
I mean, I do notice that it's a different style broadcast, especially because what's his face is doing it. The college guy.
Yeah.
Herb Street,
which that sticks out to me more than anything. I'm like, this feels like he should be talking about college football and he's talking about the pros.
Yeah.
And I can't stand Al Michaels because
he sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. I'm kind of over Al Michaels. Hey, that's probably my only excitement is he's not on Sunday night anymore, but
I don't know. You got that right, partner.
Like
the fact that y'all are talking bad about Al Michaels, that is like a football faux pas. How dare you?
I don't want to talk about FUPAs, okay?
Whoa. So speaking, okay, maybe to pivot this on.
It's a puka.
Puka pufa.
So we talked about Thursday night. On Monday night, which do you watch now? Do you watch the main broadcast on ESPN?
Let's talk about that. That is the dumbest thing that the NFL's ever done. Is not only are they putting two games on Monday Night Football, but they're not even staggering the games to where you can watch both full games.
Oh, yeah, that's not what he was talking about.
That was not my question, sir.
But yeah, that was
such
dumb.
An idiot.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
That was dumb.
But that was dumb too. Yeah,
I don't think they're doing that every week. They just did that this week.
They're doing it this week again.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, and then they do it again in week 14 or whatever. Yeah,
that is dumb.
Yeah, that's no fun bouncing back between the two.
Why are we doing this? Like it's like they haven't figured out. I don't know. They do some really dumb things. They test things out. Can't you do it during preseason or something? Like, why are we doing this during the regular season?
So my original question was, on a normal one game night, are you watching the main broadcast with Buck and them or Troy Aikman, or are you watching the Manning brothers?
Yeah, I like Buck and Troy. The Manning problem with the Manning cast is I don't want to watch a smaller screen and watch them on the side. I like their insight. I like their comedy. I do think that they're entertaining to watch. But if I'm trying to watch the game, I actually want to watch the game at full screen. I don't want to watch a picture-in-picture version of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So if you took the pictures of them out, you would enjoy their...
Yeah, if it was just them, if you would have thought that they're in the broadcast booth and they're talking, yeah, I'd probably watch them. But I'd something about Troy Aikman and Buck just feels right, too. Like, they're great. Yeah,
they're pretty professional and solid, right?
Yeah, Troy's...
If Joe Buck could just read me a bedtime story as I drifted off to sleep every night, that
no
would...
No joke. No joke. Him and
Troy.
Him and Nance. Jim Nance.
Yeah, Jim Nance. Yes.
Jim Nance.
I cannot. I can't think of
the Masters.
The
good night, John.
baseball playoffs and the Masters without Jim Nance's voice and Joe Buck's voice.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Joe Buck does a lot of stuff, but for some reason, Buck, I always associate
you're right. You're 100% right. Buck is the baseball playoff guy. Like, that is him. And Jim Nance, I can't imagine the Masters without Nance. It's just,
oh yeah,
that's wild. Cool. Okay, week two in the books. And Stuart, for your sake, there are 2-2-0 teams, 2-0-2 teams, and the rest are 1-1. Can you name the 2-0 and the 0-2s?
Bryce is 2-0, and Jackson?
That is correct.
And then 0-2 would be Senior. Is that right?
Yeah. All you had to do, you could have knocked it out with one name if you wanted to.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Senior and David.
It just said, if your name is David, you haven't won a game this year.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that more in the power rankings, but we can actually talk about David's big board right now since Joey has it pulled up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
And check out the fmffl.net/bigboard/nothing to look up anything you'd like on this. It's public domain.
This is the latest for the last week, which gets updated automatically every week, I guess, and stuff. But yeah, man. Yeah, you could have seen your 2-0 and 0-2 teams there, but
yep.
The way to read this, how did David explain
left,
it to me?
Left to right.
Left to right.
Okay.
Use your eyes. You take the score. Oh no. Yeah, you take your score and I think you go against everybody.
Yeah, you're talking about the
score and you double it.
I knew I should have added the.
You're talking about the theoretical wins and losses.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes. So all you're doing is taking your previous week.
Oh, so, that's what it was.
So your week two score and where you rank. It's just like how we did our pick, picks of the week scoring.
Yeah.
Right? It's
highest score of the week. Highest score of the week gets 12.
Gets 12. Lowest gets one.
Lowest gets one. And so, if you're in the top six, you get a win for the week. If you're in the bottom six, you get a loss.
Yes, so that'd be against the top half, based bottom on half. So are you a top half of the league team? Are you bottom half? And then really, it's just showing your strength of victory on the far right. So if you're the best high scoring team, you get more credit. So number one looks like Bryce with 21 points, and followed closely by Mike Staffel at 20. So Staffel having a strong start, even though he's 1-1. Where's Jackson at? Okay, he's right behind him. So Ryan's at 17. Right behind him is Jackson, who's the other 2-0 team at 16. So again, you could read that
but somebody else is 16.
And then we've got Stewart at 16. So you can read that as essentially Jackson. Well, I guess it's all the same, right? So it's where you stack up in the league. It's not necessarily your total points. So it's where you stack up against the rest of the league. So Stewart, yeah. Jackson at 16. Daniel at 14. Lewis at 13.
Yeah.
That's right, because Lewis had a really good week too.
I'm at 11.
Joey at 11. I'm sitting at 10. Woof. And then you got...
We'll be at 9 next week.
And then you got my dad at 9.
Yeah.
And you got the two Davids just nipping at each other's heels, 5-4. So Senior's at 5. And David is at the bottom. Is that why he's not on the podcast?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
He refuses to come on here if he's in last place.
So this sets up the Stewart schedule, which I think is insightful.
Yeah.
What's the Stewart schedule?
Let's see this.
So this is... I named this after you, Stewart, because I think one year you were like, I would have won it all if I had so-and-so schedule, right?
He used to do this, but that's fine.
Well, there was two years back-to-back that I did win it all. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. But in the modern history era. Books. So the way to read this one is left to right. So you take, let's take David's. David's schedule, if he had Jonathan's schedule, would still be 0-2. If he had Daniels, it would still be 0-2. So I'm going left to right across the column.
Yep.
But if he had your schedule, Stuart, he'd be 1-1.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Stuart. Too bad he doesn't.
But
that's the only one.
It's the only one. The rest of the league is 0-2. So that's pretty rough.
So what we're finding out is Stuart's had the easiest schedule in the whole league.
Oh, really?
I think
that's how I choose to interpret that one thing you just went over. Okay. I'm glad you said that. So you're reading left to right on this one.
If you read top to bottom, the way I've read that is, let's take David's schedule again. Somebody else had my schedule, what would the rest of the league look like if they had my schedule? And overall, the league.
All they have to say is my opponent's score is the top, right? My opponent's score would be the top, and then my score would be the left hand side, essentially.
I don't know about that one.
I get what you're saying. I'm just that's how it makes sense in my head. But essentially,
that works.
But essentially, if I had so for me, if I had Daniel's schedule, I'd be 0-2. By Stewart's would be 1-1. Right? Is that correct? Right.
Yep. That's the way to read that. Yep. Alternatively, reading top to bottom, this one's the weird one. It would say if Daniel had your schedule, he'd be 1-1. If Stewart had your schedule, it'd be 2-0. And so you can kind of read the column as like, how would the rest of the league have performed with my schedule?
Right.
So, anyway,
any of them? I mean, it's still too early. I mean, it's a little too early.
Yeah, I don't like. It would be alarming. Like, for example, Bryce, he's at 2-0. If his was 2-0, and then everything else was like 1-1 or 1-0, then I would probably chalk it up to, you got the edge on that good schedule, but that's a lot of 2-0s across the board, which
yeah
tells me he's probably doing it right.
Let's see, where's Senior at?
Senior, so he's 0-2. There's a lot of 0-2s there. And only a couple 1-1s. Two, three, one.
He would have benefited from Lewis's schedule and my schedule. And yeah. Bryce's schedule, ironically. Which again, that's that point. What I guess that's what I'm saying is it's Bryce's schedule, but that's just his opponents during those weeks. It's not, I mean, that's the same,
right.
Same thing, right? So it's the scores against those opponents.
Only against those opponents.
In that specific week, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. That tends to look very interesting as you get 4 or 5 weeks into it, because then you can start to see, did someone get a little bit lucky with their schedule?
Right.
Cool. This is all on the website, huh?
Yeah. We'll get the power rankings going here in a bit and try and chart maybe what's going off the pod on the website as well.
Yeah. I mean, really what you should do, I think we talked about this already, you should just import Sleeper's rankings of us, right? So, because that's not in here, right?
That is, no, it's not in here.
Just import the points for, points against, and then where we stand seating wise.
Yeah. You can do that.
Or the weekly reports that come in where they rank us that way too.
That's effectively what I'm emulating, is trying to do some of that. I found some other websites out there that have taken stabs at Sleeper API and done some really clever things. So I'm going to try and pull some of those and I'll tease one out. A great one was you could sit there and select your manager or like one team manager and select another team manager and then have all the history league year over year of all like, hey, I beat them by this many points or closest thing, you know, and basically find your real nemesis.
Stuff,
so.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Cool stuff. Do we want to move into our last couple segments here, or we got anything else to cover on these big boards?
No, let's do it.
Let's do power rankings.
Power rankings.
Okay, so we've got some interesting rankings by some of our commissioners here. We'll get into it. Joey is going to be reading, I guess, or talking through some of David's picks, whether he likes it or not. Who's our cumulative? You're representing David. Who's our cumulative number one? Is it consensus here? We all have Bryce number one.
Yes.
Hands down. The only change there from the previous week was someone else was ranked themselves one. And I think that's changed dramatically. We'll talk about that later.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. Joey, did you, this isn't looking right on.
No, this isn't in order.
It's needed to move, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just working with David's sheet from last year.
Yeah, that's it didn't follow, did it? So Bryce should be one.
We can fix that. Well,
yeah, that's
none of it's in the right order.
Yeah. That's so funny.
We can figure it out though. So we've got Bryce at one.
Bryce is one.
We've got Jackson at two.
And I believe
Staffel is three.
Yep. So it's David and I both had Jackson 2, Staffel 3, and Stuart had that flipped, but we also didn't talk about the tiers, which I'll let you talk through, Stuart, because you clearly sent it that way. Otherwise, you have some real spacing issues in your text.
Yeah. So that's one through three, right?
Yep.
Do we want to do the tiers now, or do we want to read off the whole list?
Let's go off the list, and then you'll identify what you clearly see as tiers, because I think I agree with you in general.
So then I'm four.
Yeah.
Daniel is five.
Wow.
Ryan is six. Jonathan is seven. Joey is eight. We've got Lewis at nine. Is that right?
That's
Lewis at nine.
Yep.
And then Mike Searles at 10.
Yep.
And then we've got David Sr. at 11. And we've got David at 12.
So let's start there, because it's pretty inconsequential, but I do want to get your take. Why do you have David ranked over Sr.? Is there something about his team you like better, or is it just kind of like, who cares? let me put it this way. I'm worried about David's team. I'm worried about David in general. He's not here tonight.
Sounded like he was quitting the league.
I mean, last week he didn't even analyze his own team matchup, right?
Yeah.
Last pod. This Joey time he's not showing up.
Joey was upset that nobody pointed out in week one that Joey beat him with two zeros in his lineup. So
stating facts here. That's,
I mean, hey, that's a great call out. That
somebody call him. Where is he? Is he all right?
Yeah. David, just know that we all love you, and you can always, this is a safe space. You can always come here and share your feelings.
Yeah, yes. It is. He had two really low weeks. That is true. I'm not sure why I didn't put Senior. I mean, Senior had a lower week, week one. And he was almost as bad week two as David. So
I'm worried about Trevor Lawrence. He's got him as a kind of a plug and play starter, and he's been all over the place. He had 21 points in week one, and he only had 8 points against the Chiefs. I guess the Chiefs defense is really good, but I'm worried about his longevity. And then Madison is his RB2, who just had Cam Akers traded to his team. Yeah. Jalen Waddle's concussed. Raheem Mostert, he's old. Jake Ferguson, I didn't even know they hired Jake from State Farm to play on the Cowboys. And then Christian Watson's torn both hamstrings or something like that. So that's his starting lineup. A little worried about it for him, but you know, you seem to like it better than Senior. So I didn't know if you saw something I didn't.
T-Law in the tailored suits. So I think it just may be his team name.
Yeah. And then look at Senior bouncing back with Debo having a big Thursday night. Mahomes will figure it out with Kelsey. We talked about that already. Not a big fan of Michael Thomas. So that's fair. But Joe Mixon, I think, will go as the Bengals go. So once they get right, he'll be fine. I think Senior's team's better than, if I had to pick one of their teams to take over right now, I would take Senior's. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But yeah, I probably would too.
Spent way too much time on the bottom dwellers. Nobody really cares about them anyway.
Do we think there's a new top tier? I'm curious after the last.
Stuart, why don't you talk about that? You've got specific breakdown of tiers. Why don't you explain your tiers and why you put them there, essentially?
Yeah. I have Bryce in a tier by himself. So I don't think there's any team that's even really close to as good as he is. Which pains me to say, especially from a defending champ. You don't want that.
No, I don't want him to go back to back either. Trust me.
No.
Are you not worried about, you talked about pain this last week, and maybe like another team could probably, I don't know. He's ranked high here, number two. You don't think he's in that top?
Oh, that pains me too. Yeah.
Yeah. That pains me too. I mean, it was pretty swift. The kick.
Yes.
Yeah.
It hurt. He almost scored 200 points against me.
was that, yeah. You don't think he's going to get up there? No, maybe. So Bryce by himself.
I think he could. I think he could. I will say this. I think one of the things with Mike that I don't really think is super positive, which he can say the same thing about me, but it's just, it's true. Like, I don't think Dak and Daniel Jones are, I mean, and you kind of saw it this week on Thursday Night Football with
No. Daniel Jones is good. He's good. He's good. 3.18. Ugh.
Did he start him again this week?
No, he was on his bench this time. He started today.
Well, I mean, you're the expert in QBs, right? So,
well, I definitely am. I know.
You have the weirdest experience with QBs, Stuart. I mean, you've cursed Justin Fields, apparently.
Please don't say my QB's name either.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth between starting Geno or starting Justin Fields.
You have three quarterbacks.
I know.
Probably your best quarterback's a rookie who's concussed. So
I know. If he wasn't concussed, he would be playing this week.
He'd be starting. Yeah.
I would, yeah. But even Geno, I mean, Geno had 30 points on my bench last week, so I should have started.
Yeah, Geno's good.
Yeah. So I have Staffel and Jackson in tier two. So there's definitely the potential that they could get up there close to Bryce, but they're in a tier by themselves currently.
I think I would push that into one tier to your point. Yeah. Now just I'm a little worried about Bryce's health. Not him personally, just his team. His receivers are a little bit suspect. I mean, McLaurin and Reynolds, not Ryan Reynolds, Josh Reynolds. and he's starting Jerome Ford, which he looked good after the Chubb injury, but he's going up against Tennessee, and then Saquon's out for probably a good month, I would say. But
yeah,
so I think he'll come back to earth. But yeah, when he's healthy, you're right. I think he's a tough team to beat. So what's next?
Then we've got myself, Daniel, and Ryan in a tier.
Talk about the weirdest collection of managers. So you got Stuart, you're probably the most consistent out of the three.
Yeah, I'm very weird.
And then you got Daniel, who's the past 3 years, I don't think he's actually been playing fantasy football. He's just, I don't know what he's been doing. But he's actually good this year, which is great. Yeah. Ryan, who was supposed to be left for dead, is this team's better than last year's team, probably.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. I have no clue what's going on. But I actually like Ryan's team.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the trick for Ryan is to not have a pick in the first three rounds. And then
right.
And then he'll be good. That's awesome.
I mean, and he gambled on a few guys. You know, like, I really think that we all thought Mike Evans was a gamble. Yes. And he may still end up being.
Yep. But
he's been good the first two weeks of the season.
So Joey zoomed in on Chase and Evans, and you would have thought those would have been opposite outputs. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
29 points. Tom Brady had to retire for Evans to get good?
Yeah.
Apparently. You know, Baker Mayfield is better than Tom Brady. I think.
Yeah, Baker's chucking it to him. Jeez. You know, the whole Cincinnati offense. I hope for Jamar Chase's sake that they pull it together because they just look bad.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So that's that tier. That's the top six teams. So now you're looking at the bottom six.
Wow.
Bottom half of the league. Who you got?
Yeah. So then the bottom half starts off with Joey, top of the bottom, man. You're top of the bottom.
Hey. I got squeaked out. I respect the top six. I agree with that.
Yeah. So I've got Joey, John Lewis, and Mike Searles. Oof. And I would not have put Mike Searles there at all, other than his pretty fantastic week that he had last week.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's had a few big weeks, but in the last few years, but that was a big win against Daniel by .2 points or whatever it is.
It was, and I was telling Joey before you got on, you know, Daniel had to have Kirk Cousins throw up 41 points for him to have a shot at that. So I think my dad's team is probably a lot better than we're accustomed to. And part of that is having Bijan Robinson instead of whatever else he's been running out there and not having Aaron Rodgers. The funny thing is he's had a bad Joe Burrow to this point too. So if if Burrow gets right, I could see him moving up the standings here as well.
Yeah, I could too.
You haven't said anything that's outrageous.
Yeah. And then rounding out the bottom are the two Davids and
woof.
It's sad to say, just to see where we've come as a league, where those two guys used to be so dominant, and now they're, you know,
now they're fighting over who's actually David one and who's David two.
Right. It's a reflection of the way the NFL is this year, right? Everything's all weird. Daniel's up at the top. I think Daniel's a dark horse, to be honest.
Watch out for him.
Yeah.
If he just goes against every instinct he has, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll be just fine.
If every instinct that you have is wrong, then the opposite has to be right.
I can't remember who, I think it was in sales training. We're talking about the whole George Costanza thing of him just doing the opposite of what
he was quoting.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what came to mind when you said that.
I will say, I think we talked about this on the podcast before, but like after watching that Netflix thing with Kirk Cousins, like anytime he does good, I'm like,
you're so happy for him.
I love that dude.
He's such a big nerd.
Have you watched it yet, Joey?
I have not. Somebody else pointed it out to me, and I was like,
it's a great documentary. I mean, you could do without the Mariota stuff. I mean, it's not like he's bad or anything. It's just he's just not interesting. He's just so not boring.
Interesting. Yeah.
Mahomes and Cousins though, the contrast there is so funny. And they're just so opposite people. And not like in a bad way against Mahomes, but it's just Mahomes is living this like rock star life. And here's Cousins just looks like just an everyday dad just sitting there reading Bible stories to his son going to sleep. It's pretty wild. So I mean, it's a good documentary. You should watch it.
And they are like, how old's Mahomes? Like 25?
He's older than that, I thought.
Oh, is he?
Not by much. He might be like 27.
Oh, okay. I was just gonna say I kind of feel like Cousins is like this old, you know, kind of an older dad, and
Mahomes is 28. Yeah.
Oh, 28. Yeah. Okay, so they're only 5 or 6 years apart, I guess.
Yeah, but exactly. You would think that Cousins is like Brady's age.
Yeah. And that Mahomes is like, Mahomes is just a rookie. Out of college.
Yes. Yeah. He just got his first paycheck. He's building a ridiculous mansion and he's got a par 3 hole in his backyard. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, great documentary. You should watch it if you haven't, and you'll get new respect for Kirk Cousins, but just the quarterback position in general. I mean, it's tough.
All right.
Anything on here that stands out? I think we're all pretty in lockstep with, I mean, the biggest thing is Stuart, you fell pretty hard compared to where you were. And well, I'm
from, you know, I was two.
I still have you up the second tier.
You went two. Yeah. I guess it's from where you ranked yourself to where I have you ranked now. It's four positions. It's a pretty significant drop, but listen, last week was a rough week for you. So I was expecting everyone else to be, and including yourself, being a little harder on yourself than you were, but
yeah,
you're probably where you should be. Top half of the league for sure. And well, you just need some health. You need some health. You need a little Eckler help.
Yeah, that hurt me last week, and it's going to hurt me again this week. I don't really have a whole lot of depth at wide or running back. So,
thank goodness for Brian Robinson, huh?
Yeah,
my word.
No kidding. Yeah, if it wasn't for him,
when did you draft him?
I mean,
it wasn't early.
Third or fourth.
No, early?
I didn't have a third, so it must have been fourth.
Man, yeah.
Fourth round, 4.09.
Yeah, fourth.
That's a good pick. Really good pick. I like him a lot. I think he's a good running back.
I mean, he was drafted in the 12th round a year prior.
Well, that's because literally right
before he was shot in the leg.
He was shot.
Yeah.
He probably should have not been drafted.
Yeah.
But
I think David drafted him, actually.
Yes, I mean,
that is correct.
Yeah. All the rumors were he was like, oh, he's practicing and he's going to be back. I was like, really? He got shot in the leg. But
yeah.
Oh, well.
It went straight through. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, ask Plexico Burris about that.
Yeah.
Shot himself in the leg.
Oh, gosh.
So bad. All right, cool. Well, let's wrap this show up. We got one more segment, and that's Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
You want to flip the page there, Joey?
Do it.
Get to the old Picks of the Week page. Ooh. All right. Can you zoom in a little? That'd be great. I've got bad eyes, apparently.
Let me see how to do this.
You can do it, right? There you go. There she is. There she is. Well, let's save that top line for last because there's a couple of parties here involved. Let's go to Daniel versus Lewis. So, 2-1-1 teams. We got Daniel, I believe, ranked fairly high in the, I think he's like fifth or whatever. We just covered in the power rankings, fifth or sixth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Going against Wild Thang. Right now, Lewis is projected to win by 3 points. Funny enough, what rookie moves by both of them? Well, I guess Lewis actually didn't have a choice. So they both started their guys on the Thursday night game in the IDP position, which is really stupid.
It's a rookie mistake.
Rookie move. Daniel did it in a way that he could have actually avoided. But I think Lewis.
The app even alerts you now. Like
they'll tell you, get your guys out of the flex spots, which is it's fine. I'm done preaching that. I just like to mention it every time. But Daniel. It's projected 112, Lewis at 115. Quite honestly, I think I picked who did I pick? Daniel. And I think Daniel's team is going to score better than projected. I don't know why they got him so low. I mean, I guess starting Sky Moore in your flex will do it. That's my big concern. But also, Lewis is rolling out there the double wide receiver tandem of Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk. So that's a bold strategy. And I'm going to pick against that. I'm going to pick Daniel to win, but I think it's going to be a close one. It'll be close.
Daniel in a close one. That's a surprise.
Yeah. Well, now I feel confident saying that after your fun fact.
Yeah, exactly. Daniel won't win a big one. His will always be close.
Sorry. I forgot. So we went ahead and adapted the new scoring that we were supposed to adapt. And thank you, Stuart, for actually doing that this time because I forgot about it. So I have a confidence level of 3. Reminder, if you're extremely confident in the matchup, you assign a score of 6 all the way down to 1 being your least confident. And so I've got Daniel with a score of 3.
So you're not that confident in this win for Daniel.
I mean, I said it's going to be close.
Yeah. Okay.
That's middle of the pack there. 3, right?
It's lower end.
Yeah, lower end. Okay. Okay. I picked Daniel too. I think it will be close as well. And I picked it at a confidence level of 4. So I'm a little more confident.
I think most of the matchups are projected to be close at this point. So
yeah,
kind of pick your poison.
Well, okay. as David,
yeah,
he's chosen his brother. Confidence level of 5.
And wow,
I'd probably back that up. I don't think that's so wrong.
Wow.
you really like Daniel's team, huh? A lot of faith in Kirk Cousins. Although they're playing the Chargers, they should have a good week.
Yeah.
You want to lead us off with the next matchup there, Joey?
Stewart versus Jackson?
Yeah.
Well, David has sent these picks in, and he went with went with Jackson with a super strong confidence level of one.
Man, that's funny because I picked Jackson. I'm way more confident about it. I've got it at five, and it's not. I don't even think this is gonna be close. I think this is gonna be a tsunami. I mean, Justin Fields doesn't even know how to throw a football. So if you
but he does know how to run with a football.
If you just stop him from running, just play him like he's a running back. The better dual threat running backs on the other or quarterbacks on the other side with Lamar Jackson. So
oh burn.
I mean, listen, you're starting Samaje P. Ryan. What are you doing?
Who else would you think would you like me to start at my running back position? Just
I don't know. Your nickname for him is Sum G. that's pretty funny.
So it's either Sum G or Boobies Bro in Antonio Gibson. Those are my only two options because I'm sticking with the three quarterbacks.
My word. I mean, it's not like you're finding a better guy on waivers anyway. I mean, that's kind of
true. That's true. Stuck. Yeah, I tried to get some waiver wire pickups this week, but missed out.
You didn't have $73 to?
No, I did not. No. Well, I did, but not to waste on someone that's yeah, or Gerald Ford. So. oh wait, no, he was a president.
He did play football though. Fun fact.
Fun fact.
You just imagine Gerald Ford playing the NFL today.
Well, he's dead, so that would be real weird.
That's so stupid.
I picked myself with
yeah, a of course you did
of three.
That's extremely confident for I'm not actually, this roster.
I'm not actually that confident, but I have a feeling that some OG is really gonna go to town. I think he's gonna get two touchdowns this week.
Wow! Put it on the board.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
what about you? You didn't pick me. I see. That's okay.
Yeah, I got. That's what I said. I said I got Jackson at a confidence level of five. It's not even close.
Oh,
it's gotta be
okay. Rough. Okay, I'll do the next one, and this should take literally about 30 seconds.
The devil's three way here. Go on.
Yeah, we've got a 666 across the board.
We do.
And this is for obvious reasons. This is Bryce versus David. It's actually projected to be closer than I think any of us think it will be. Bryce is just a much better team all the way around. This will be the last week that Alexander Mattison will probably even be rostered. Still not sure if Jalen Waddle is going to play, and you know, the only kind of questionable thing is Josh Reynolds was a pickup this week for Bryce. And
yeah, Bryce's receivers suck.
Starting at wide receiver. I am willing to make a trade with Bryce. I've already talked to him about that to get Jerome Ford, but he's not interested in trading that dude. So anyway, I think Bryce is going to win this. Very confident in that, and it looks like you guys are too.
Yep. Don't need to add anything to that. Let me see if you do you hear that?
The thunder rolls.
Those are just flames. That's where this is
flames.
Because this is the devil's number 666. Yeah, Bryce is gonna dominate. It's not even close. Yeah. I really am worried about just David in general. And David, if you're out there listening, just give us a call. Let us know you're okay. You know, shoot up a flare. Let us know that you're in a safe place. But
let that be the only thing you shoot up. Okay.
I just for your sake, I just want you to know it's going to get worse before it gets better. Okay. Anything to add, Joey? I mean, we've said it all.
Just hang in there, buddy.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Still got to try for that first round draft pick.
Yep. Also, just. In all seriousness, he told me before the reason he's not here, he has just an uncontrollable case of diarrhea. So that's really what's going on. So just keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Hang in there, buddy. Moving on, we've got Staffel versus Senior. And if Staffel knows what's good for him, he needs to throw this. Otherwise, he might get fired. But if we take the personal out of it, I've got Staffel at a confidence level of 4. Mike's got a really good team. I do think that you had a good point earlier about his quarterback position, Stuart. That's not the strongest. But the rest of his position players are really good. So I think he's got a deep team. He needs to get Michael Bolton out of his lineup because he's out. so there's that. He must be going on tour. But outside of that, give me the Staffel by confidence level of 4.
Yeah, I picked Staffel too. I'm not super confident just because of Debo Samuel having a big.
Yeah, he did. He did have
Thursday night. So that puts Staffel in a little bit of a hole. But I just played both of these guys and I wiped the floor with Senior and Staffel beat me. So I'm going to go with Staffel.
Wait. Hold on. You can't say you wiped the floor with Senior and then just kind of breeze on by that. Yep, Staffel beat me.
Yeah, I mean, barely beat me. If I would have set my lineup correctly, it would have been much closer.
Oh, man. I can't wait for Staffel to respond to this in the chat.
No, he beat me. He beat me fair and square.
Squeaked by. All right.
And David chose Senior.
He went with Papa.
Yeah, confidence level of 2. I don't know. Senior's really stacked on the Kansas City here.
Yeah, he's a little over leveraged.
But they're playing Chicago.
Yeah. If you're gonna start them all, this is a good team to do it against. Chicago's not very good.
Do it on, so we'll see.
David wanted one of the Davids to win, and so he picked his father because he knew he wasn't gonna beat Bryce. Hang in there, man. Just get the 2-ply. 2-ply toilet paper. 2-ply. All right. Last matchup, and then we can end this horrible show.
We're gonna skip the other one again.
We don't need to talk about our game, Joey. We'll let it out. We'll talk about our game. We've got two more. I forgot we skipped ours. We got Mike Searles. We got Mike Searles and Ryan Palomo. And I'm actually surprised no one took my dad. We've got another sweep here, and they're all kind of low in the confidence level, so that's why I kind of say that. But well, I've got Ryan with a confidence level of 2.
Wow.
Burrow is the biggest question mark. I think if Burrow plays better, I actually really like my dad's team. He's got a really solid team. But Ryan's got a lot of firepower that's playing well for him right now. Kenneth Walker, Mike Evans, and Kyron Williams have been playing really well as Goff. So, yeah, give me Ryan, confidence level of 2.
That's exactly what I had, Ryan, confidence level 2. I think this is going to be a really close matchup again, probably a chocolate starfish.
Oh,
I could. Chocolate starfish.
Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is. And I think it'll be close. I do think the Burrow-Goff matchup will be an interesting one. And I have a feeling that Goff is going to win. And so, therefore, Ryan's going to win.
Yeah.
And I'm 2% confident in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and David's got Ryan pick confidence level of 3. Sleeper's got it 49% to 51%. I mean, it's clearly this could go either way. But I would agree with the chocolate starfish as well.
I gotcha. All right, on to the main event.
Okay, so this is a fun one for me to analyze. So we've got Jonathan. He's picked himself, surprise, surprise, and not super confident in himself.
The bigger surprise is your pick, but go on.
I know. Jonathan has always lacked confidence, and this is just showing that again. Barely confident in himself, even against his brother, who just in league history has been at the bottom of the barrel. And so
he's never even made a championship. That's right.
Right. David, on the other hand, which I think maybe he and Joey talked, he actually picked Joey.
Yeah, how much did you pay him?
I think he's feeling bad for skipping the analysis last week. Yeah.
Not super confident either in the Joey pick. He has a confidence level of 2. So there's kind of not everyone's on the same page with this. You
break the tie, Stuart.
No one's very confident in this except for yours truly. And I am extremely confident, a confidence level of 5. In whose favor, you may ask? Well, just in time for dinner, because wow. I picked Jonathan.
That is wild. Level of
5.
So here's what's funny about that. Just without even looking at the matchups, if you go back to the power rankings, and this is what Joey and I were laughing about before you got on, you have Joey ranked over me.
Yes. Well, this is
and then a confidence week. Level of 5. You have me beating him this exact week. So, yes. I'm very confused. Mixed signals.
I know. You might say. I know. I think the Muth is gonna have a big.
He's just gonna eat
some touchdowns up this week against Las Vegas. They're playing in the castle, and so you know that it's gonna be no weather is gonna cause any problems there. And then you know,
I got a lot of castles this week.
Yeah, I mean that's why you got Justin Jefferson in the castle. You got Javonte Williams, who's going to have a little bit of rain, maybe a little cloudy, but no big deal.
He's going to make it rain. I think that's what that means.
He will make it rain. I will say this, and I believe this to be true. I think Dameon Pierce will not be scoring half of his projections going forward. I think he's going to be outscoring his projections. He's projected for almost 12 points. I think he's going to be in the 15 to 20 range this week. So
let's talk about a trade then.
Yeah. you've already tried to trade.
I know. The only guy I want is the guy you don't want to give up. It's just fine.
Right. So, and then Joey's team, you know, the only guy I like on there is Tua. I'll trade you for Tua straight up for Justin Fields.
Please don't even look at him.
As soon as you trade him to me, he's gonna
get concussed on the bus ride over to wherever.
His career will be over. His career will be over.
Can I ask a serious question? And this is dumb because I'm playing you, so I'm not trying to give you any advice. Why do you have AJ Brown and T Higgins on your bench? What's going on here?
This is the confusion that I'm talking about earlier. From Higgins throwing a 0, and I don't know what's going to go on with Cincinnati, but then he comes out and he blows up last week.
Look, Nakua and
Brown throws up low single digits first 2 weeks.
Puka Nakua and Keenan Allen make total sense in your roster. Throw them in there. They've been on fire. But Jordan Addison over those guys, I feel like that's kind of – now, what's funny is in our matchup, there's a direct correlation between Addison versus Jefferson. So there could be – it could be some wild variance there.
Addison put up 14 points the first week, 17.7 last week.
Okay. Hey, I'm not talking you into or out of anything. I just wanted to hear your thought process.
It is funny, though, Joey, when you drafted and you drafted – AJ Brown. I'm trying to look to see what you draft, where you drafted in the first round.
Yeah, number 6 or whatever.
Yeah, first round. And then T Higgins in the second round.
Yeah.
And those two guys are sitting on your bench for someone whose last name is Nakua and a rookie wide receiver. Well, they're both rookies.
Yeah.
I've had to throw a lot of cash out there to make some big adjustments.
Okay, well,
we'll see how this pays out.
Listen, it could all work out in your favor. I was just, it's pretty wild. You've got a lot of trade bait on your bench is all I'm saying too. So
I will say anybody's tradable on my team. I am fully open to doing.
You have, I think you have more to offer than Stewart to Bryce. Just FYI, Bryce is looking for receivers. So I might want to.
Yeah, that's true.
Drive up the price for Stewart is all I'm saying. Cool. And then so
Joey, you actually have a ton of good players. That's a little ridiculous.
Just not enough starting spots for them all.
And that is the reason that I picked Jonathan.
Just such mixed signals going on over here.
But you'll rank me higher than him. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Counts.
So even after I beat, that'll be the cherry on top. Next week after I beat Joey, you'll still have Joey ranked higher than me. It'll be the best. Or I'll lose, and then you'll rank me higher than Joey for some reason. So that is it. Any closing words? Any final thoughts before we wrap up the show?
We didn't do any milk stuff, but
I guess Stewart just left.
Stewart's gone.
I don't know what happened there, but that's okay. We're at the end of the show. I'm not even gonna let him back in. Devices not connected. That's so funny. I don't know what that means. I'm just gonna kick him from the studio. Yep.
Yeah. Peace out.
All right. Any final thoughts, Joey?
Nope. See you next week. See how it goes.